What a failure the 10 spies were as fathers. And it broke my heart to think that all the children above 20 years old were condemned to die in the wilderness over a period of 40 years because of a wrong choice their fathers made. The 10 spies that would not trust in the Lord and would not obey the Lord. And the scripture tells us, this is not our text. Scripture tells us in Numbers chapter 13 that those men died before the Lord. They died of the plague before the Lord. I suspect that it was the same day that they refused to do what the Lord had instructed them to do in leading their families, their tribes, along with all Israel, into the promised land based upon the promise of God. But as I'm looking at that and that dismal failure, and it's breaking my heart. I talked to Susan about this in my Bible reading. I noticed that Caleb was exactly the opposite. And so our study this morning is about Caleb. And we're actually starting at the last chapter of his life and then going back to look at the verses in Numbers that tell us how that chapter came to be. We're reading from Joshua chapter 14, and I'd like you to follow with me as we read from verse 6 down to verse 15. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 15. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now in chapter 15, just a few verses here in chapter 15 of Joshua, verse 13 down to 19. This is really the last historical reference to Caleb in the Bible. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was called what was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, pardon me, that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wouldest thou? Who answered, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. I want to speak to you this morning about a courageous father. A courageous father. Many years ago, I became acquainted with Caleb in my Bible reading. I was a new Christian. I'd only been saved a few months. And in Bible college, we were given the assignment to do a biographical study of some character in the Bible. And I think I was reading through the book of Numbers, and I found Caleb, and he became one of my heroes. In fact, maybe the three Hebrew children in Daniel chapter 3 and Daniel in the book of Daniel, maybe they were before, but Caleb became supreme as a hero for my life. I encourage people to find people like that in Bible, real Bible characters. I admire Caleb. I learn from Caleb. He is an example to me. And I think I'm approaching his age. He was a brave and courageous man, a wise and loving father. And so this morning we're going to do something we've never done before. We may never do it again. But I'm going to call your attention to five sayings of Caleb. And we're actually going to start with the last one. And it's here in chapter 15 of Joshua, where Caleb says in verse 16, And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, whoever can conquer this town, whoever can get inside and possess the city, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. And so that last saying of Caleb, the fifth saying, that one here is this. Very simply, marry my daughter. That's what he said. I want you to marry my daughter. It would be pretty handy sometimes if dads could say, Sonny, come here. I want you to marry my daughter. It'd be pretty handy, wouldn't it? It would be. And the girls all say, oh no, like this. But Caleb sought a valiant, courageous man for his daughter to marry. And it appears to me that he chose a nephew. I take it that Othniel was Kenaz, Caleb's brother, Kenaz's son. That's how I see it. And he tested him. I believe this is a father's responsibility. And I encourage every father, if there is some fellows casting eyes upon your daughter, cook him over a slow fire and see what comes out. I advocate that in all seriousness, and my sons-in-law will say, I bear the scars. Well, it's really true. Caleb said, You want to marry my daughter? You have aspirations to be my son-in-law. It's a very honorable place, you know. And so in order to do that, you will have to conquer a city. Whoever smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, he can marry my daughter. Well, this is the first thing we see here. Can I pause just a minute here? I promise not to keep you past 3 o'clock this afternoon. But I pause just a moment and ask you to hold your place there and turn with me to Genesis chapter 28. I'm saying to you this morning that we fathers often fail our children. You will remember in chapter 27 and 28 of Genesis that Jacob and Esau had a conflict. And it was because Jacob was so tricky. I'm not going to say that he was the typical Jew, but you almost heard me say that, didn't you? Jacob was so tricky. He was so subtle. He was so crafty. And he was able to get from Esau not only his birthright, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a pot of stew. But he was also able to get the blessing that was his as the firstborn by deceiving their father, Isaac. You know this story, don't you? Well, Esau was very angry, and he was going to kill Jacob. And so Rebekah says to Jacob, I want you to leave. You've got to run. I want you to go home, go back to my father's house, and find a wife among her kindred back there in Syria. Go back there. And then she says to Isaac in chapter 27 of Genesis and verse 46, And Rebekah said to Isaac, she says this to her husband, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. Well, the daughters of Heth were two wives of Esau. He had married people from Canaan that had no love for God, had no trust in the true God, the God of the Bible. And then she says, if Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? She was so exasperated. And I have no doubt that these women were worshippers of idols and that they were not faithful to God and that they had a whole different set of values and their character was not good. And Esau had married them. Chapter 28, verse 1, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee. And so he commands him then to go. In verse 5, and Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram, unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. And then verse 6, look closely. When Esau, that's Jacob's brother, saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, and the sister of Nebajoth to be his wife. Did you see when Esau evaluated, when he discerned who he should have married? It was after he heard his parents talking about who was a suitable spouse for their son and who wasn't. So dads, I'm saying to you, if you are not proactive and you don't sit down with your children and you don't talk to them about what sort of person they should marry and what sort of person they should not marry, it will come back to you. And you will regret not having given him counsel beforehand. There's a lesson here for us. So the first thing we notice about Caleb was that he was courageous in seeking a good husband for his daughter. So we come back to Joshua chapter 15. He was courageous. He sought a valiant, courageous man for his daughter to marry. Dads, be courageous. There's no need to be a wimp. Be a man. Say to your son, son, it's important who you marry. Say to your daughter, daughter, it's important who you marry. And lay down biblical guidelines and pray much and fast and give good counsel. Or you will grieve, weep bitter tears in your pillow. Now the second thing we see Caleb saying. In Numbers chapter 13, come back with me to that text. In Numbers chapter 13, we have two very important chapters here. Chapters that are pivotal in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 deal with these two chapters, and you should read them carefully. But in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, after the 12 spies had gone up and spied out the land, and they come back bringing a great cluster of grapes between two men on a pole, so great that it took two men to carry it, and they come back and they report to the nation, and they say, it's a great land and it flows with milk and honey and there's much fruit there, but there are strong cities. And 10 of the spies said, we can't do it. We can't take it. It's too hard for us. It's too big. We cannot do this. We should turn around and go back to Egypt. But I want you to notice what Caleb says. His courageous statement in verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." These are words of courage. Caleb says, "I'm putting on my armor. I've got my helmet, got my sword, I've got my shoes, I'm ready to go. Come on, fellas, line up, let's go. Let us go up at once." A courageous response to what they had observed there. But then turn to chapter 14 and verses 6 to 9. He and Joshua say this, and so we don't know which of them said what, but this is a concerted effort to persuade the people to obey God. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, when the people said, "Let's go back to Egypt," it says they rent their clothes, they tore their garments. "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not.'" Now, those words are the words of Joshua and Caleb, two really close soulmates. Their hearts were joined together. I want to call your attention to the phrase in verse 9, when they say to the people of Israel, "They are bread for us." We don't have a copy of it anywhere that I know of, but we used to have a sermon by A.J. McClure, and the title of the sermon was "Giants for Breakfast." You must have said it a dozen times through the sermon. "Giants for breakfast. That's what's going to happen," Caleb says. "They're bread for us. Giants for breakfast." These were big fellas. These fellas there in Hebron that we read about further on in this, these fellows there were the ancestors of Goliath. And when they left Hebron, they went down to the Philistines. So it was probably Goliath's great-grandpa and great-grandcousins or whatever they were, granduncles or whatever they were, that Caleb said, "It doesn't make any difference how big they are. God has promised the land. Let's take it." And I admire Caleb for his courage. Men of conviction. "God's promises are firm and trustworthy," he said. "God said it. He promised us this land. His words, God's words in character, integrity, mean that when the Lord promised us this land, we're going to have it. They're bread for us." So that's the second of the sayings of this courageous father. And then I want you to look with me, please, in chapter 14 and verse 24, because here we have the Lord describing Caleb. And he gives us another of the sayings in chapter 14 and verse 24. The Lord says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully," take note of that, "followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." No half-hearted obedience. The Lord says he had another spirit. Boots and all. I can hear people saying that in my memory, people from the past that were courageous Christians. Boots and all. All the way, followed me fully. He had another spirit with him. He had a persistent courage. In chapter 14 and verse 7, it tells us here that Caleb had said along with Joshua, "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to search it is an excellent, good land.'" He was positive about what he saw there. And we read in the scripture that Caleb had an obedient heart. I'm so impressed. Go with me to Joshua. Turn with me to the book of Joshua. Again, to chapter 14. It's interesting here. I think you're probably the same in heart, at heart, as I am, in that you want to know how long someone is committed to serve the Lord. You do get some skyrockets every once in a while, a theological skyrocket that somebody will light the fuse and they go, and it comes down a dead stick. It was impressive going up, and maybe it made some pops at the top, but it comes down a dead stick. We're interested. God is interested. The Bible tells the story of people who were consistent, and they were persistent. Do you notice here in chapter 14 in Joshua, it says in verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. And then look at verse 10 of the same chapter, Joshua 14, verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. 40 years in the wilderness, when all around him the leaders of the nation were perishing without entering the promised land, and their children were perishing all around him, and Joshua and Caleb were still alive. Only two of that generation survived to enter the land. 40 years it took, and then 5 years of conquering the land, and now they've come to the conclusion of conquering the land, and he says to Joshua, do you remember that when God promised through Moses that this place would belong to me, that was 45 years ago, and God has kept me alive. And so he says here that the Lord blessed him following the Lord fully. Then we come to the next saying of Caleb, and that's in chapter 14 of Joshua. And you'll notice it in verses 12 to 14. And it's in these words here, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Look at it with me there in chapter 14 and verses 12 to 14. Now therefore give me this mountain, the Mount Hebron, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He claimed his inheritance. He laid hold of what God had promised him. I'm telling you this morning, dear friends, I think we live in a weak, limp-wristed generation when there are not enough courageous fathers that have convictions and have backbone and grit and courage. And that we should take a page here, we take a lesson from the life of Caleb and say, yes, Lord, I want to be a man of conviction, a man of courage and strength. I want to be a godly man like Caleb, who could trust the Lord and did trust the Lord. Now, there's another. In chapter 15 and verse 14. Chapter 15 and verse 14. We read this. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak. Anak was there 40 years before. Now Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak, and he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. He drove thence the sons of Anak 45 years before he saw the city and possibly saw their father, and determined by the grace of God to possess that. So, I'm going to write this out, and you'll know the rest of this. The bigger they are, what's the rest of that? The harder they fall. a courageous man, a courageous father. I'd like to call your attention to this. Because at the end of his life, we know no more after this about Caleb. He says, I'm looking for someone to carry on this heritage. I'm shopping around for a courageous son-in-law. Anybody want to apply for the position? And there was this man, Othniel. Did you know that he's the first judge that's mentioned, I believe, in the book of Judges? Othniel. He said, I'll apply for that position. Caleb said, well, you'll have to take down Kirjath Sefer in order to win my daughter. So I'm just saying here that we need in our day fathers and grandfathers who will be courageous. And we need their sons to say, that's my job description as well. And we need some little boys to say, that fits me to a T. That's where I want to go. That's who I want to be. Courageous fathers. Courageous fathers. We see the whole situation from when he was outside on the edge of the land all the way through to the end. When he is looking for the Lord to provide him a young man to carry on the ancestry. So what conclusions, what applications? I believe every generation faces the challenge of a world gone wrong. My parents, my grandparents saw it. Every generation faces that challenge. Iniquity abounds, lawlessness increases. R.L. Heimer said, every preacher preaches to a dying nation. All this is abounding. But God's promises are still true. And we should have hope. The future is bright. It's as bright as the promises of God. But I want to challenge our men. I want to challenge our young men. Don't be discouraged. Don't be a wimp. You don't need to be a barbarian. You can be a courageous son or a courageous father. Look forward to what God has for you in the future. And because of courageous fathers, I love what the scripture says about Caleb's daughter, Aksa was her name. And he said to her, I'm going to give you some land. And she said, Daddy dear, would you give me some more? She knew how to approach her father. And we might look at Caleb and say, yeah, I don't know. Do you know what his name means? How many of you know what Caleb's name means? Susan does. His name means dog. But it doesn't just mean any kind of dog. It actually means an attack dog. Does that fit what you read in Scripture? I read that this was a man that wasn't afraid of giants. He was a very doggish sort of person. Now, I'm a dog lover. My wife is a dog hater. She doesn't particularly like cats either. But anyway, I'm a dog lover. I think that when the Lord created all the land animals on the sixth day, that included dog. And on the eighth day, Adam invented a ute for the dog to ride in the back. You know, that's just the way it's got to be. It just works that way. But Caleb was an attack dog. He was an aggressive, doggish sort of person. I read that in the Bible. But he was also approachable. And his daughter knew some of his courage. What would it have been like to be married to Aksa? What did Othniel face with Caleb's character in Aksa? She said to Dad, Dad, you've given me some land. I need some water to go with it. I need you to give me some springs to go with it. And he gave them to her. He was courageous in leadership of his family. And I find him a great blessing. I don't know if I can live to be 85 years old, but if I do, I'd like to be like Caleb. Maybe some of you other guys should aspire to live to 85. Brother Floyd's getting really close. He's only got a little bit of distance to go. When is your birthday, brother? I knew that. I knew that. It's this year and he turns 80. And we need to have a celebration for him. Thank you for being a courageous dad. Take this to heart. Fathers, let me encourage you. Take this to heart. Go home today and read Barbarians and Wimps. Mums, back him up. Go home and read How to Be a Mean Mother. Now that doesn't mean being cruel. It means you need to understand what tough love is all about. Lord, we pray that out of this some good would come, and that we would set our sights on worthy heroes to emulate, to copy. Let them be examples for us, like this Bible character, Caleb. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing people like that into my life. They don't have to be tall. They don't have to be physically strong. While there does need to be Christian character and conviction there. So, oh Lord, help us, everyone, in this regard, not to lose to a wicked world our children and grandchildren. Help us to guide them truly, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.